Okay. Good evening. Welcome to Rock Solid Faith.
Hello. Can you hear me now? No. Hey, welcome everybody. Glad you would join us this evening, and we appreciate you. Appreciate those who are here in the audience this evening, and we're going to start with a brief word of prayer. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you, God, for your love and your kindness. We praise you, oh God, for being our God, for being the one and only God, the true and living God. Father, we thank you, oh God, for what you're going to do, oh God, for what you've already done, oh God. Father, we open our hearts to receive from you tonight. We bind the works of the enemy that would try to hinder the word of God from penetrating our hearts and our minds and our ears. And we open ourselves to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. In Jesus' name, have your way, O God. Father, we will humble ourselves before thee, O God, that you may be exalted in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So we want to get started tonight by trying to do a brief review of what we covered on last week, just to make sure that everybody's on the same page. We also want to apologize to everyone. We were not able to address the people that were online last week. We hopefully will get that resolved this week where we can at least acknowledge those that are online and answer any questions that may come up. So that's our intent. If anyone else is online, just let us know if they have any problem hearing or anything like that. And once we're all set here, we'll be good to go. All right. So do you have any questions sort of lingering from last week that we need to answer first before we get into this week? If you don't have any questions, I have some. Okay, no questions? All right, well, the first question is, who is God? The Father? Our Savior? The Father? Okay. We didn't get to the assignment last week, but the assignment for last week was supposed to be that we were going to ask you to spend this past week, and we'll ask you to do it this week, to pray. When you pray, pray to God as Daddy, not Father, for just the impact of getting your mind around the fact that God is your Father. All right? And we're trying to get ourselves away from seeing God as so high and lofted and lifted up that, you know, he doesn't really think about us as individuals. But God thinks about you as though you were the only person on the planet. That's pretty big. Okay? And so he thinks that way. He wants us to think that way. When we begin to think that way, we are really acknowledging that we really know God. And because we know him, he will also begin to see and believe in our hearts that he knows us in the same intimate way. Okay? He wants us to know him like he wants us to know him like we should know him. And that as he knows us. Okay? So that's really what we're trying to do. Many times the religious aspect of knowing God puts him in a position that's way away from us. He only sort of comes down when hits you over the head with a club when you do wrong. And God is not really that way. And if we, for whatever reason, have had a little bit of that in our theology and in our thinking, we want to see if we can move that away from us so that we begin to have a personal relationship with God, because God is a personal God. Okay? So, have you ever thought of God prior to this week's lesson as your daddy? You did? I used to get upset. There was a person at a church we used to attend that would say, I wouldn't have prayer with my daddy. I had something happened to my eye, and I prayed to my dad. I went to the bathroom so I could be alone, and I prayed to my daddy, and now everything is fine. And I thought, in my own way of thinking, well, how can she really be that? Talk to God that way, as daddy. He's, you know, he's bigger than that. He's better than that. But that was my lack of understanding that God really wants us to have a personal relationship with him. Okay, I've since learned better. But back then, it was like, when I first heard it, it was like, you know, the nerve of that person, putting God in that position. Okay, we had one other experience that sort of shook me the same way. We had a person in our ministry that had a stroke, and we were taking turns, different ministers, going to the hospital to pray for that person. And I was in one of the sessions where the person said, God, your God can do anything. And I ask you right now to heal her of her sickness. And I'm thinking, you can't say that to God. And he kept saying, I want you to heal her and heal her. You know, she got up from there. She got healed. The stroke, when she first tried to get out of the bed, obviously she fell on the floor. And, you know, next couple of days, she kept trying to get up and fell off the floor. About a week later, she was walking again. And I said, I was wrong again. And I couldn't really believe that. Okay, that's one of the things that I'm trying to say is that many times we have to push past ourselves to begin to know God and honor God in such a way that changes our whole relationship of how we believe God and how we receive from God and how we know God. Hold a second. I want to just get the people that are online to be able to hear you.
That's how I used to do it, where I was afraid to come to him and talk to him like that. But it says, come to the throne room boldly.
Yes, it does. That's what it says, and that's what it means. It's not that we don't read it and it says that. It's that we don't get it in our mind that it really means exactly what it says. We put our own little theology around it, and guess what? It limits your ability to really hear God and receive from God the way he intends it. And it will have an impact and block you from a lot of other things that God wants you to see because of the way that we or read the word and then change the words to make it mean something different than what he intended it to mean.
A lot of times we try to westernize the word.
What do you mean by westernize?
Put it in our own limited understanding according to what we think. But it's not about what we think. It's what does God actually, what is he saying? What does he mean? Not to put my own spin on it.
Okay, good. Last week we covered one other thing, that God is not a man, right? Okay, but he is a what? Spirit, okay? And that's okay. He's a spirit, okay? You can communicate with him as a spirit because you also are a spirit. Okay, God breathes his spirit into your spirit and you became a living soul. And I know you don't see yourself so much as a spirit, but your body one day will die. It will wear out. Your spirit will still be alive. Yeah, so you
already.
So our spirit man is really the real person. But I think it was Kenneth Copeland says that this is our earth suit that we need to walk around on the earth, but we really are spiritual beings because God created us to be a spirit to live forever. Okay. And God has a nature. And we went through a list of things that who God is. God is all powerful. God is all knowing. God does not change. God is omnipresent. He's every place all the time. Okay? And these are things that we talked about. And we also talked about the fact that God is love. That was one of the biggest ones that we have to get our mind around, that we see God's love the way that he sees it. And we begin to understand it the way that God understands it. And we begin to look to him because he is all loving and there is nothing that we can ever do that would change his love for us. We may walk away from him, but he will never walk away from us. Okay?
He's faithful. Faithful.
Faithful? Okay. God is faithful. God is full of wisdom. God is good all the time. God is full of mercy. All right? What is mercy?
Not giving us
what we deserve. All right.
Okay. Thank God.
All right. All right. Very good. Okay. God is full of grace. He's always gracious and merciful. I'm sorry, Pat.
No.
Okay. God is, we're trying to communicate this. I don't want to get thrown off here, but I did. Okay. God is full of grace. God is holy. He is always holy. He will always be holy. He will always expect us to adjust to get to the point where we accept him at his word and not try to get him to change for what we want him to be, but he's always going to be faithful to his word. He's holy God. Okay, God is just and God is fair all the time. All right? And there was something sort of comical that I want to really think about, want us to think about, that many times in our families, our parents may have favorites. Okay? But but God does not have favorites. He treats us all the same. And you, because he does that, if you see something that God has done for another person, many times you have to understand what it is that they're doing that you're not doing so that you can have the same thing that they have. Because if God is the same, what he does for one, he'll do for another. When you see something that God has done, it's good as yours. If you can understand what they did, and you can do the same thing. All right? Good. So God is just.
I'm going to go back to explain what we're talking about here as far as his mercy.
You should. Put your mic up.
Okay.
You can jump in anytime.
We're making adjustments as we go here, guys. So bear with us.
Okay.
Okay, so God is full of mercy. And we talked about this is when you deserve to be punished for something, but mercy has been given to you that you do not receive. According to Psalms 106, it says, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." The next scripture, Psalms 136 says, 1-3, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever." And in Lamentations 3:22-23, it says, "Through the Lord's mercy, we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Aren't you glad about that?
So he never runs out. That's what we say. He never runs out. Grace is always there. Okay. God is full of mercy. One of the best definitions. Okay, keep going. Okay. God is full of grace. One of the best definitions I've heard is explained this way: God's riches at Christ's expense. We are able to obtain God's best not because we deserve it, but because someone else paid for it. It is like getting to use someone else's car that you do not make payments on or even put gas in. It's yours, but you have not paid for it. It's been paid for by someone else. In Acts chapter 20, verse 23, the scripture says, "But that matters little. What matters most to me is to finish what God started. The job the Master Jesus gave me of letting everyone I meet know all about his incredible, extravagant, generous generosity of God." Okay, Psalms 145, verse 8 to 9 says, "God is all mercy and grace, not quick to anger, is rich in love. God is good to one and all. Everything he does suffuses with his grace." That's the Message translation.
I want to take a break to say hello, everybody online. Jenny, Heidi, Dominique, hey, you guys are doing well. Go ahead.
And if you have any questions, please put them in the chat, and we will try to answer those for you as well. Sorry about last week. We missed it last week. Okay, good. Next, we're going to talk about the holiness of God. The Father is holy. Your daddy is pure and without sin. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26 says, "And you shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord. I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from these people that you should be mine." And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." And God cannot sin. It says sin cannot be in his presence. All right?
Amen. So I want to read something from the Fire Bible that talks about being holy. And it says, "God is holy, and what is true of God should be true of his people. Holiness, when referring to God, relates to his absolute purity, perfection, completeness, and separation from evil. When applied to God's people, holiness carries the thought of being morally pure, spiritually whole, and separated from the ungodly ways of the world and set apart for love and service and worship to the Lord. I thought that was so good because, you know, sometimes people say, you think you're holy? I am. Why? Because the Lord said it. The Word says it. I'm not, you know, talking from my flesh, from my head. I'm talking, He says, be ye holy for I am holy. So if God is holy, then we can be holy. Is that right? Okay.
Okay. All right. So under the caption that sin cannot be in His presence, it says, this is why when we ask for forgiveness, that the blood of Jesus washes away our sin, and when we can be in His presence, so that we can be in His presence again. We are purified by the blood so that our holy dad can spend time with us. If we come before God with sin, guess what? You can't be in His presence. Hold on, hold on. I'm coming.
There's a question in the audience.
That reminds me of the book that I read, The Price of God's Miracle Working Power by A.A. Allen. Mm-hmm. And he talks about where, you know, be ye holy as I am holy. You can't be perfect, but if you strive for Christ and run for His perfectness, then that's how you strive to be perfect. The more you walk towards Him, the more you do more following His commands, you can be perfect in His ways.
It's God's definitions. I mean, it's so different than what we've been taught, what we've heard all of our lives. Perfect means you never make a mistake. Well, no, that's not what He says. If your heart is right towards God, towards about what you're doing, then that's being perfect. Now, if you try to come, you know, half-stepping and pretending, well, that's a little different. But when your heart is right and pure before the Lord, that's perfection for Him. Okay. So we just have to get out of this worldly, fleshly, westernized mentality and come on over to the mentality of the Lord.
Okay. One thing that I have learned over the years is that we will sin. And the Bible says when you sin, it doesn't say if you sin, it says when you sin, you have an advocate with God the Father. Mm-hmm. And if you're faithful and just to ask for forgiveness of sin, God will forgive you of all sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Okay, which means that you're not right because you never did anything wrong. You're right because God ordained you to be right. When you ask for forgiveness, He doesn't go back and keep one or two on the side that says, the next time you come, I'm going to remind you what you did. He wipes the whole slate clean. Okay, so it's not about what you have done. Yeah, you've done some bad things. Okay, but when God forgave you, guess what? Gone. Yeah. Wherever that is. I've heard that before. As far as the east is from the west. I don't know where that is, but wherever it is, God is the only person to know where to find it. Okay? And we just have to recognize it. So if we can get that out of the lesson tonight, to know that once you ask for forgiveness, okay, it's in your mouth. Once you release it out of your mouth, God takes that and it's a done deal. He takes you at your word. All right? Very good. Because your daddy is holy, he will never tempt you with sin or use sin as a tool in your life. James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and is enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death.
Not the devil made me do it.
Okay.
We're tempted by our own lust. I don't know, a lot of us are not, or some of you maybe not be old enough to remember one of these sitcoms that they would always say, yeah, the devil made me do it. Nope.
Lebulson, yeah.
We're drawn away by our own lust.
Exactly.
That's what the Word of God says.
Okay. He will never tempt or test you with what Jesus already paid for on the cross. It's done deal. And what did Jesus, is there anything that Jesus didn't die for? No. He died for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And because of that, God is not going to be trying to tempt you with something to make you adjust or change. Not going to happen. See, it's when he delivers you and then turn and uses that thing against you, that would be sick. That's what Pastor's saying, would be sick. God would not do that, okay? Don't think he's going to do it. Don't expect me to do it. He wouldn't do that, okay? Your Father is fair and just. Remember the days when you were disciplined, but you were not the person who did wrong? Your Father in heaven is not like that, okay? He has no favorites. He treats us all the same.
Have you ever had the occasion to be accused of something that you didn't do and suffered the consequence? Oh, yeah, that didn't feel too good.
Didn't sit right.
Mentally, it wasn't good. Maybe physically, in my day, it wasn't good.
What do you mean, in your day?
Well, in my day, if you got caught doing something wrong, or someone spoke to your parent about something wrong, you got to spank it. Questions asked later.
You got a spanking? What
does
that mean?
They called it a whooping. questions asked later and apologies later. I remember one day we were in my home and my aunt thought I had done something wrong. And I was not rebelling against her. I was just trying to get between her and the walkway to get to the restroom. And I got elbowed, and I hit the ground. And later, I explained to her, you know, after everything cool off, the ashes had to be cool. I explained to her, I was just trying to get to the bathroom. I was not trying to rebel against you. And she says, oh, I'm sorry.
That's good.
But the damage was done.
At least you got an I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true. But the damage was done. So, you know, I'm so glad that God is not like that. He sees everything.
Okay. All right. God has no favorites. I think I just mentioned that. An example of that is in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that will he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Okay? So sometimes we think that no one's paying attention. God is everywhere. He sees everything. He's always paying attention. All right. Your Father does get angry. What angers the Father is sin. The reason that sin angers God so much is because it destroys his relationship with his people. Just as earthly parents do not like it when our children rebel and disrespect us, the Father in heaven senses the same anger and irritation. He tells us not to sin, not because he's trying to steal our fun, but because he's trying to keep us safe and make us successful in this life here on earth and in the life to come. Right. Now, this is an interesting one I think we're going to talk about. It says, when we rebel, he watches us flush our lives down the toilet and do foolish things. It makes him angry, and he has to discipline us to bring us back in line. An example of that will be in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 9 and 10. It says, so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what God had commanded him. I think I said several weeks back that God doesn't give advice. He gives instructions. That's why you don't have the 10 suggestions. You got the 10 commandments.
Yep.
Okay. He means for you to follow exactly what he said.
And Jennifer says online that our God is a jealous God. Amen.
Okay. Okay. And the next topic deals with God as sovereign. If I asked you to give me your definition of sovereign, what do you think, what would you give me? Anybody want to shoot that one?
Top dog.
Top dog.
The top dog, okay. Anything else? Okay, let me read something to you. It says, Have you ever heard that God cannot do anything, that God can do anything he wants, whenever he wants, no matter what? To many, this is the definition of sovereign. The word sovereign means the supreme ruler. Here's a statement for you. Your father cannot do whatever he wants, when he wants.
That's right. He can't violate his own rules.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right? In other words, God being sovereign, he gets to set the rules. Okay? And he sets the rules for us, and he sets the rules for him. He wants us to obey his rules, and he won't violate his own rules either. Mm-hmm. And that's the definition of sovereign. Once he said a thing, it is set, and nobody can change that. Mm-hmm. All right? But him. Okay? I got it. Some would say that this statement is blasphemy. It's the truth. Our example, our daddy has set parameters even for himself. There are two things that our father has chosen not to be able to do. One, he will not go against his word. And an example of that is in Psalms 138th division, verse 2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above your name. Okay? Even he won't violate his word. All right? And next, he will never go against the will of man. Man has free will, or we would be like the angels. Okay? God will not violate your will. Some things come down between you and God. That's why you can't be saved unless you willingly ask God to come into your life. All right? Until then, you can have all the other reasons, but you have to make that commitment. You have to submit your will to him to allow him to come in.
Amen.
All right? Amen. All right. Now, Revelation chapter 19, verse 16 says, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right?
Hallelujah.
So that makes him sovereign. Yes, sir.
I have a question on that.
Okay. Hold on a second. Let me get to you.
Where we said man has free will or we'd be like the angels. Mm-hmm. What about the angels that chose to follow Satan? Didn't they have some sort of free will to be able to do that?
Yep. Yes, they did choose to rebel like Satan chose to rebel. Okay? So there are different, I'll say this, classifications or levels of angels. Okay? But what happened was Satan had really authority over a third of the angels in heaven. And they were sort of, they were under his control. He rebelled. Because he had a high position, like Michael, like Gabriel, they had high positions. When they rebelled, all those that were under him decided to rebel with him. They all got the same punishment. They got kicked out of heaven. But they didn't start, the angels under Satan didn't start the rebellion. They just followed the leader, which was Satan. Okay?
And Pastor will address, I'm going to ask Pastor to address this further next week. But it's choice. Choice.
Yes. What are you saying is that I said, the scripture said that, the book, that the angels didn't have the same choice that man has.
Right.
And he said, well, there's one that, a group that did. Okay. And they were following the leader, so to speak. Okay. Yeah, exactly. They did.
Okay. We're going to talk about the names of our daddy. When we share the names of our father, it's like describing earthly parents. Your earthly daddy is a son, it's a brother, a husband, a father, and the A's can go on. He is the same person, but each name describes what he is and what he does. So the first name we're going to talk about is Jehovah Lord. It's a little echoey. Yahweh. Uh-huh. Okay, we haven't changed the mic here. And the earth, when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. According to Deuteronomy 6 and 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." Can we say that? The Lord our God, the Lord is one. One more time. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay. So, that's from monotheism doctrine, which proclaims that God is one. He is the only God. I don't care what other gods say they are gods. There is only one supreme, almighty, everlasting, forever and ever, who changes not, God, the great I am. That's it. Book closed. Okay. So now we're going on to talk about the names of God. The next name is Yahweh Jireh, the Lord our provider. According to Genesis 22:14, it says, "And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'In the mouth of the Lord, it shall be provided.'" Your daddy will provide your needs. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply some of my needs. And my God shall supply some of my needs." I'm not corrected here? Did he say some or all? All your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Okay, our daddy will provide our needs again. If you are a giver, tithing, giving alms and seed, then your father will take care of you in the financial realm. God will owe no man anything. If you take care of his business, he's going to definitely take care of yours. Sure.
That's an interesting topic, because a lot of times we do what the Word of God tells us to do in giving our tithes and our offerings. But there are times when Satan will push you to the very brink of, you know, thinking that you're doing the wrong thing, or you may need to jump and help God by helping him out some way. Okay. And at that point, you need to remember what the Word of God says, the scripture that says God will supply your needs. What you do at that point is you pull out your checkbook and you begin to say, "Here's examples of where I've been faithful in giving my tithes to the Lord. Based on that, devil, you got to back up and get off of me." Okay? You have to say that something, because God is never going to be the one who's holding back. But Satan will do his best to string you out to the very end and make you doubt that God is going to be faithful to do what his word says he will do. Okay? He always does it. Many times we don't do it, but then what he tries to get you to do is begin to question whether God is going to be faithful to his promise. If he can get you to do that, then he takes away the blessing that God has promised you, because once you stop doing what he says, the same devil who robs you that time is going to go to God and say, "You can't bless him. He's not giving." You know, it's like a catch-22. So recognize that when that happened, you began to stand on the Word of God and said, "Hey, based on this scripture, God has promised that if I give, he will take care of me, and I'm looking to see him take care of me." Okay?
Praise the Lord. God is not a God that he should lie. Okay. Our daddy promises in Matthew 6:26-34 that you do not have to worry about what you will eat or what you will wear and where you will sleep, because the Lord will take care of you. Amen. The third name is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. According to Exodus 15:26 says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Our daddy is a healer. I don't care what people say. I don't feel healed. It does not negate the word. The word still is true, whether you feel it or not. We have to embrace it. We have to believe the word.
We're switching mics because mine is dead here. That's so I'm doing that. But one of the things that we need to learn how to do is that when God created the earth, he spoke it into existence. Is that right? Okay. When we're dealing with things that he's promised us, we have to say it out of our mouth. Okay. You have to say you heal many times, sometimes before you get your mind around the fact that you heal. Because what we will instantly revert back to is saying, I don't feel like, okay? And it doesn't matter, like my wife just said, it doesn't matter what you feel. What really is important is what God says, because God's word is supreme. And so we have to begin to say it. And as you begin to say it, the whole atmosphere changes. All the heavenly host gets behind you to support what God says, all right? So many times we have to learn how to say the opposite of what we feel. And even in spite of the fact that we don't feel it, we say it because God has promised it, and that's what you're standing on. A lot of times when I hear people ask for someone to pray for them or come up and they want to agree in prayer, and what you really have to do with that to begin to grow in that, you have to stand on the scripture and the word of God where God promised that to you. Other than that, you really have no basis for it. But a lot of times we haven't been taught that. So we just want something, and we think God should give it to us because we want it. But God is honored, obligated to do what his word says. Okay? But if he said it in his word, that's our position of authority. And that's something that we have to learn to do. You're not demanding it because you're this big, bold person. You're demanding it because God's word said it belongs to you.
Your daddy wants you healthy. Can you repeat? My daddy wants me healthy. My daddy wants me healthy. Amen and amen. His very nature is to heal you in your spirit, soul, and body. God is not the God of sickness, but the God of health. God never brings a sickness on someone just to show how humble they could be to receive it. Never, ever. He's not trying to prove something by making you sick. He does not make people sick. There are two forces in the world. There's an evil force, and there's a good force. And the good forces of God, the evil forces of the devil, comes but to steal and kill and to destroy. But God comes that we may have what? Life. And not only life, but have it more what? Abundantly. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm getting excited here. Okay. The next name is Yahweh Nissi, Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my victory. In Exodus 17, 15 through 16, and Moses built an altar and called its name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has shown, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. In other words, Moses built an altar to remember the victory that was wrought for them at this particular place, to remind them that God gave them victory. So many times we forget about the victories that God gives us because of the pressures that we are under. I mean, they're coming right and left, and things are getting hot and heavy, and we forget that it was God that brought me through the last thing I came through. So in my mind, this was just something to remind Moses that when they ever got to a place that it was tough and tight and the enemy looked like he was going to overcome them, that he would reflect on that altar where God was their banner, that he watched over them and protected them. Okay, the Lord is your banner, I'm sorry, of protection, but will also fight for you. He is the avenger. Hallelujah.
Okay. You want to recognize some people online here. Shana Gilbert, Heidi Clark, Jenny Basili, mm-hmm. Karen Erickson. Hi, Karen. Brittany Gilbert. I got a few more here. Jennifer Sullivan. Jenny Basili.
What that suspect it's on. We have a statement.
Okay. Corinne Ludwig, Debbie Campanelli, Paul Musi, and Aunt Queenie, you're watching. Hey, Aunt Queenie. Okay, go ahead.
The verse that I always think about with the Lord is my banner, or is my victory, is 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, for he gives us the victory in Jesus Christ our Savior.
There you go. There you go.
That's good. That's good. Good. All right.
That's good.
I think the mic got turned off.
It's back on.
An echo?
Yes, a little echo.
You hear it, short it out.
No, it went off.
It did. Okay. Excellent. All right. Where am I?
Shalom.
All right, shalom. Thank you. Keep me on point. The Lord, our peace. Where am I? The Lord. Want to turn that down, please, sir? All right. The Lord gives. The Lord gives peace. The last one. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Okay. Judges 6:24 says, so Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abezirites. Okay, good. Isaiah 26:3 says, you keep him in peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now, does that mean I have to walk around talking about the Lord all the time? What does that mean? How can we keep our mind stayed on the Lord? Okay. So that means I can't work. Oh. Okay. Okay. Oh, thank you. I got corrected. I can still work and still be in his presence. It's your posture. How's your heart? What are you thinking about? Is he in your mind? And is he in your thoughts when things start going crazy? Is he the first one we reflect on? Or do we have to go all around the barn? No, we can say, hey, I remember what the Word of God says. That's so good. That's why we have to hide it in our hearts. So that, yeah, every thought captive. That's a hard thing to do because, you know, sometimes you're under pressure and the pressures come so quick. It's like, you know, you're searching. But, you know, the more we do it, the better we become at it. The most you practice your skill, the better you become at your skill. All right. So John 14:23 says, I will leave with you my peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And so many times I have to remember that. That I have to separate the peace of this world from the peace that God gives. Because the peace that God gives is actually restful. There's no stress in it. It's just, hey, I'm laying arms of my daddy. I know he's got me regardless of what's happening. He's got it. He's going to take care of it. So I'm going to dismiss it out of my thoughts. I'm not going to muddle over it. I'm not going to think on it. I'm going to think on what the Word of God says. Okay. Daddy is our peace in the midst of the storm. It is like crawling up in your daddy's lap and feeling peace and safety. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Okay. The next name is Jehovah Tsidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. The scriptures that we're taking this from is Jeremiah 3:33-16. It says, in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Also, that's referenced in Jeremiah 23:6. The Lord is our righteousness. We have been made righteous through the precious blood of the Lamb. All righty. Righteousness, according to the Fire Bible, means more than doing the right thing. It always stems from a right relationship with God and living by the commands and promises of the covenant or life agreement. God established with his people in this sense. Our righteousness is the opposite of rebellion against God's command and rejection of his promises. Because of human weakness and sin, true righteousness can come only from God and the spiritual salvation he provides through his son, Jesus Christ. Only, that's the only way. Okay. Our right standing with God is not because of what we can do, but who he is. The next name is Jehovah Shammah. Shammah. The Lord is present. Ezekiel 48:35, all the way around shall be 18,000 cubits. And the name of the city from that day shall be called The Lord is There. God is omnipresent. He's every place at all times. That used to freak me out as a child. I'm thinking, huh? What do you mean? How's that going to be? Yeah, I was. Everywhere. Oh, goodness. The Father is everywhere at all times and is with you no matter where you are. Your Heavenly Father is watching you and walking with you through every situation. Jehovah Sabaoth. All right. The Lord of hosts, Lord Almighty, King of glory. The scriptures that follow that would be one, Isaiah 1:24. Therefore, the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will rid myself of my adversaries and take vengeance on my enemies. Jeremiah 11:20 says, but O Lord of hosts, you who judge righteously, testing the mind and the heart, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have revealed my cause. And the other, it's not a scripture, it's a statement that daddy is our, that daddy wars for his babies. Us babies sometimes think we need to war for ourselves. but we need to know when to fight and when to let daddy do the warring. In the Fire Bible again, the Lord will fight for you. God assures the people that he would defend them, but they had to have faith and move forward towards the sea. That excited me so much. They had to have faith to move towards the sea. Moses was going to part the Red Sea for the children of the Israelites to walk through. Had they not moved forward, do you think that sea would have moved? No. We have to have faith. And this is change forward. This is our new motto this year. It's change forward. If you don't move forward, guess what? Well, change will never happen. So we've got to continue to move forward in our faith.
Mm-hmm. I had a minister that I worked with earlier in my life that talks about the time that he lived in Boston. And there was a lot of gangs and a lot of things going on in the community, and he took a bus to school. And every day, this guy would take his lunch money. His mom would give him lunch money. He'd come home. He didn't eat because a bully took his lunch money. So he made up his mind this morning on his way to school that I'm not going to give this guy my lunch money again. He got to school, and sure enough, the bully comes out and says, hey, where's my lunch money? You know, the guy says, I'm not going to give you my lunch money. He says, why not? He says, you gave it to me yesterday. He says, I decided this morning I'm not going to give you my lunch money. He said, then you must be ready to fight. And so he said, I guess if I have to fight, I have to fight. The bully stepped out, and a guy came out of nowhere, jumped in front of him and said, you want to fight? Fight me. Okay? And it gave him just enough courage that in the future to stop this guy from taking his lunch money. Sometimes it's that way with us. We don't see it that way, but the enemy is always trying to get you to cower and to not go forward when God has given you a very specific word that tells you how to act in order to receive his blessing and his fighting for you.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen. Homework for who's your daddy?
Yeah, this is the homework you didn't get last week that you get this week, okay?
Because we are learning about our Father in a relationship sense, and not in a mindset sense. We have an exercise for you to grow your relationship. This exercise can be difficult if you have had a bad father experience or you have grown up in religion where you were taught to be afraid of God. I would encourage you, this is Pastor, I would encourage you to do this even though you might feel uncomfortable. This week, you are not allowed to pray to God, but only to Daddy. I would like you to address Father God as Daddy for this whole week. This exercise is not disrespectful. In fact, according to Mark 14:36, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic term for daddy and is very intimate. Jesus called Father God daddy, and we have been told that because we are his sons and daughters, we can address him in the same manner as well. This is personal. Not a religion.
Okay. So you got a license to see God and talk to God as your daddy. Okay? And just see how long you can do it. Make a record of how many times you do it and how many times you hitch when you start to say it. Because it just, you know, it doesn't automatically flow out of you the way it should. Right. But keep doing it till it does. Mm-hmm. All right? Yes, sir.
That's probably one of the reasons that the enemy has attacked the family so strongly. I mean, we have all these fatherless children in society now, and so it makes it harder for them to relate to God as God the Father because of that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. The enemy stops at no point to try to undo what God is doing. And so I understand what my brother is saying is that if the enemy is create a situation for you where you don't have a father, it's really hard for you to accept God as your father because you've never had someone that you call father that's always there doing the things that God says he would do. Matter of fact, you probably have the opposite, you know, reaction. That you have no respect for that person because that person's never really been there. But that's again, looking at what's happening in the world as part of Satan's ploy to try to destroy the representation and the view of God in the earth. It exists, but we have to fight against the tide and say that what the scripture says about God and about my relationship and possible relationship with him is what I'm going to pursue. Irregardless of what I see, doesn't matter what my father was, that God can be father beyond that.
Yeah, and it's again, you know, it's a step of faith, especially for those who've had a problem with their father. It really is a step of faith. You have to believe, you know, let God at first acknowledge, okay, God, I got a little problem with this because you know how my dad was. You know, we didn't have a good relationship. Okay, that's good, but let me be. You have to allow God to be daddy, to allow God to be Abba, Father, removing the stigmatism from our minds of what we saw with our natural eyes. Because remember, God is a what? He is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's all a step of faith as we begin to embrace God as Abba, Father, as we begin to pray to him as Daddy God, and our spirit man begins to accept what we are saying as true. The flesh is, it will fight us tooth and nail. Anything that's good, have you noticed? It will fight you tooth and nail to try to get you not to go that direction. But we have to pursue, press forward, be determined and committed to the things of God, to do what we've been instructed to do. Any questions?
All right, then we got one more person to acknowledge here that showed up, Kathy Von Drink. I see you. Thanks for watching. All right, we're going to wind this down, and we're going to end in prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for this time of study in your word. We thank you for opening up our understanding, where we hear and understand that you desire for us to have an intimate fellowship with you. You desire for us to break with all of the traditions that maybe that we've been taught, break through everything that sort of we have been taught in our lives that makes it difficult for us to have a full intimate relationship with you. And Father, as we go forward this week to begin to pray and to pray to you as our daddy, Father, help us to see and to understand and to feel a closeness with you that we have never felt before, so that from this point forward, we begin to see you in a new and a more intimate way, and that our lives will be the better because we now hear and have fellowship with you. We talk with you, Lord God, like you're listening, because you are listening. And we need to be able to pursue a close relationship so that our lives going forward will be better than they've ever been before. And we thank you now for doing it even before it happens, because your credit is good with us. In Jesus' name, we decree and declare these things to be so. Thank God. Amen. We also want to remind you that never come into the house of God without a gift. We have a basket here, so we ask you to do it. Those online, you can also give online. So we thank you so much, and we'll see you next week. But we won't see you next week, but Pastor will see you next week. I'll be in the class, but I won't be on the microphone. God bless. Have a good day.